Well, our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. We're going to read verses 25 through 36. So if you're able, please rise for the hearing of God's holy word. And we'll read again in Jesus' name. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all is taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, your word is truth, and we pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. Thank you for this passage from Luke chapter 21, which points us ahead toward the second coming of Jesus. Lord, I pray that by your word you would ready us for his return. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in Luke chapter 21, Luke records some of the signs that are going to happen before the return of Jesus. He says there are going to be signs that take place in the sun. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but the past 2 years have actually been kind of an unprecedented time. In the whole space age, as long as we've been able to really gaze into the heavens with clarity, there's nothing that's ever been like our past 2 years. The sun has never had so few sunspots as it's had in the years 2019 and 2020. It's a very strange occurrence, unlike anything that's happened before that we have recorded. This strange sign in the sun, could this be a sign of Christ's return? Luke also tells us that there are going to be signs in the moon before Christ comes back. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're supposed to have 20 lunar eclipses in the next 10 years. 20 of them. An average of 2 lunar eclipses a year. Could this be a sign in the moon that Christ is going to return? Luke also tells us that there's going to be signs in the stars before Christ comes back. Are you aware that every single day, 275 million stars die, and 275 million new stars are born? Could this be a sign in the stars that Christ is going to be returning? Luke also tells us that there will be signs in the sea and the waves. Are you aware that this is the busiest hurricane season ever in the Atlantic that we have recorded? And not only that, from the years 2016 to 2020, they've all been well above average, some of the busiest hurricane seasons that have ever been. Could this be a sign in the seas that Christ is going to come back? Luke tells us that people are going to be fainting with fear and foreboding on what is coming, and that will be a sign of Christ's return. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been a part of anything like the fear and panic associated with the coronavirus. It's not even an isolated thing. It's all over the world. This panic and fear is going on. Could this be a sign in the hearts of men that Christ is about to return? Well, the next thing that Luke records in his passage is the return of Christ. After these signs, Christ will come back just the way he left, as it was prophesied in the book of Acts. You see, last week we heard about Jesus riding into Jerusalem humbly and on a donkey, riding to his death to save mankind. But when he comes back, when he returns, it's not going to be a humble thing. Instead, Jesus is going to return in power and glory, and he will judge the living and the dead. And when he does, the heavens will pass away and the earth will pass away, and only his word will last forever. After Luke tells us this, he records a parable of Jesus. It's similar to, but not quite as scary as, the parable of the 10 virgins, because that parable comes with a very stern warning, focusing on the negative connotations of not being ready for Jesus' return in glory. In that parable, if we aren't ready, we'll be locked outside forever in that place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we aren't ready for the return of Christ, then we'll forever be removed from the presence of God and suffer in eternal hell. It's not exactly a happy thought, but it's a warning that we should take to heart. The parable in our sermon text, though, is not quite so dark. Instead, it's that parable of the fig tree. And in it, Jesus teaches that when we see the leaves come out on the fig tree and all trees, summer is near. So when we see the signs that he mentions, that means that the return of Jesus is at hand. It's imminent. It could be at any moment. Do we see signs in the sun and moon and stars and waves and the fears of men today? We certainly do. But then again, they also saw these same signs in the first generation after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, some of the things I told you about the sun, moon, stars, and sea might have seemed really surprising, but they aren't as out of the ordinary as you might think. You see, the sun is always going through different cycles of having more sunspots or less sunspots, and we just happen to be at a bottom time right now where we have fewer sunspots, and in the coming years there will be more of them. The 20 lunar eclipses in 10 years, it's been that way forever. Two eclipses a year is pretty normal stuff, folks. And as I read about the birth and death of stars, scientists believe that rate of 275 million a day throughout the universe has been pretty constant for a long time. And even in the days of Jesus, there were hurricanes, typhoons, and tsunamis that happened. We do have a lot of fear in the world right now, but is it really more fear than there was during, say, World War I, World War II, the Black Plague? Any of the other terrible things that have happened in humanity's history? You see, these things that are signs of the return of Christ have always been happening ever since the resurrection of our Lord. And that's why every generation of Christians have thought, could this be the end? Could this be it? Could this be the time when Christ returns and sets all things right? Could this be the moment that he will judge the living and the dead? Could this be the moment when sin, death, pain, and suffering will reach their final end and we will be in paradise with our God? You see, we find some of the first recorded predictions of the return of Christ all the way back in 500 AD. And these predictions of his return continued on year after year and generation after generation, because as people looked at Scripture and looked at the world, they always saw signs that his return could be at hand. They always believed that he could return at any moment, and they wanted to figure out how and when it would happen. Was it possible that Jesus could have returned at any of those times? It sure was. You see, Jesus tells us that not even he knows the day and the hour of his return, and that means neither will we. Scripture tells us that the return of Christ will come like a thief in the night. It'll be a complete surprise, and it'll be here before we know it. Scripture tells us that when Jesus comes back, everything's going to be like it was in the days of Noah before the flood. People are going to be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Does that sound like today? We might be doing it in smaller groups, but it does, doesn't it? All of those things are going on, and so could Jesus return today? He absolutely could. And he may, but we don't know. You see, in our parallel passage to this out of the Gospel of Matthew, There are other signs that are mentioned as well that are going to point to the coming of Christ. And there are also things that we see in our world and have seen since all the way back at the resurrection of Christ. Matthew mentions false Christs, wars, rumors of war, nation rising against nation, and so on. And we see all of these things in our world. Matthew tells us that these are merely the birth pangs, the beginning of the birth pangs, pointing to the return of Christ. So all these crazy things we see, whether it be natural disaster or war, or the sun not having very many spots for a while, they should all serve the same purpose for us. They should remind us that the bridegroom, that Jesus Christ, is on his way. We don't know the exact day or the hour of his return, so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for whenever Christ returns in glory. When we get near the end of our passage this morning, Jesus gives us a warning. And it's a warning that can actually be found in other places in Scripture, a warning found in the book of Ecclesiastes, which we've been studying in Sunday school. If you've been there for Sunday school, you'll remember these words from King Solomon from chapter 2. Come now, and I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Remember, Solomon tests himself with all the pleasures of the world. He tried everything. He tried wine and great possessions and many servants and great wealth. And he brings in singers and he grows his harem. He tried it all. He made pleasure the goal. He dove headlong into testing pleasure to see if it was worth it. He didn't hold back anything. And what he found, that everything was meaningless, that it was a vanity of vanities, that it was nothing but a vapor that would all pass away. The warning that comes from Jesus is for us to not be weighed down with drunkenness and dissipation. And these two things are very closely connected to one another, and exactly what Solomon did when he tested himself with pleasure. He made pleasure what truly mattered and the goal of his life, rather than enjoying God's good gifts and living his life focused on him. Jesus warns about this, because if we make pleasure the goal of our lives, then that means we've forgotten about him. And we're not ready for the return of Christ. And when Jesus does return, it'll come on us like a trap. Solomon found that the pleasures of this world are worthless and that they're empty. Jesus also warns us about letting our lives be consumed with that too. Jesus warns about being consumed with the cares of this life. He says, don't let the worries and the struggle and the pain and the suffering of life consume you. Now, at times, this can be a really difficult thing because we're sinners that live in a sinful world, and that means life gets hard, and sometimes life gets really hard. And it can be easy for us to only focus on those things, to focus on the pain and the suffering, to focus on the anxiety that keeps us from sleeping at night. Jesus also tells us that if we are consumed with the cares of this life, if that's all our life is focused on, then we've forgotten him as well. And we won't be ready for the return of Christ, and it will come on us like a trap. One of our readings this morning was from Malachi chapter 4. And in that passage, the prophet describes what the return of Christ will be like for those who are not prepared for Christ's return in glory. Malachi records, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. The Son of Righteousness shall have healing in its wings. Not a very pleasant passage of Scripture, is it? It's not one we like to dwell on. But it is an unfortunate reality. You see, all of those who have rejected Christ, who do not have faith in him and his finished work for them, that's what the return of Christ is going to be for them. They're the ones that the prophet describes as arrogant and evildoers. And when Christ returns, that's the end. There's no do-over. There's no extra life. There's no second chances. The return of Christ will come like a thief in the night. The trap will be sprung, and it will mean their judgment, and they will be separated from God in hell for eternity. That's why Jesus warns us. That's why he tells us not to be caught up in either the pleasures of this world or the concerns and stresses of this world. That's why Jesus tells us to be awake at all times and be praying that we have the strength to escape the judgment that is coming. The day of the Lord may be coming like an oven to consume the unrighteous, but God doesn't want anyone to be consumed on that day. He wants us to be ready. He wants everyone to be prepared for the return of Christ in glory so that that great and terrible day of the Lord might be a day of joy for us. That it might be something we can long for. Because for those who are in Christ, when that day comes, this sinful world and our sinful natures and all the consequences and temptations of sin are done with forever. The only way for us to be ready for the return of Christ in glory is actually to follow the advice of King Solomon, again from Ecclesiastes. As we reach the end of the book in chapter 12, he says this: "This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments." Fear and trust in God. Fear and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, knowing that his perfect life and his sacrificial death are enough even for sinners like you and me. His sacrifice is enough even for our salvation. It is only then that by grace and through faith you can be ready for the return of Christ. And if you are, whenever that day comes, it won't be a trap that springs upon you for your destruction, but instead, it will be your redemption, which is drawn near. The prophet Malachi in chapter 4 doesn't just give the picture of a burning fire coming to consume the arrogant or the wicked, but he also tells us what that day of the Lord will be for those who believe. He says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts." So, amen. Lord, make us ready for that day and come quickly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promised return. That day will you judge the living and the dead and set all things right. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith in you, that we might be ready for that day. Keep us from the worries of this life, and keep us from overindulging in the pleasures of this life, that we might be awake and sober and ready for your return whenever it comes. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.